This is the Life Truth Network.
Truth Exposed, Episode 60.
Truth Exposed, a feature of Quest for Truth, where we take a deep dive into Scripture. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, Keith Heltzley and Nathan Caldwell.
Hey, everybody, that is correct. This is your host, Keith. It is time once again for Truth Exposed. Today we'll be joined in a little bit by our cast of characters, our co-host, Nathan Caldwell, who will be offering some remarks on our topic of the day. We'll also be joined by our long-favored radio Bible teacher, long-deceased, Jay Vernon McGee, who founded the Through the Bible Ministries, where you can still find them out there, ttb.org. Check him out. There's always something new being posted every weekday. You can find the library of his shows by doing a search for Jay Vernon McGee on Apple or your favorite directory, I am sure. And all of his Bible teachings are out there. So there we go for our opening credits and announcements. Hey, we will be looking at John 16, verse 16 through 22. So get prepared for that. I don't have a lot of extra opening remarks to say. But hey, maybe we'll be back in the studios live again pretty soon with Nathan Caldwell. So look forward to that for our usual Quest for Truth. But for now, let's tune in, lend an ear to the good folks there at the Christian Podcast Community.com. I played a big roll call of folks last week, but hey, we'll keep it a little shorter and just enjoy some folks who will sound like this right here.
Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report is a podcast providing biblical interpretations and applications. It is a ministry of striving for eternity and part of the Christian podcast community. We provide a biblical view of cultural events, discuss how to apply God's word to the Christian life, address issues that concern the church, and we even take some time to offer a correct understanding of those commonly misinterpreted passages of Scripture. You will hear from great guests like Justin Peters, Todd Friel, J. Warren Wallace, and Gabe Hughes. Andrew has the Rap Report Daily, which is a two-minute Monday through Friday podcast, and then the longer Rap Report podcast for more content. Subscribe to both today by searching for Rap Report on any podcast app, spelled R-A-P-P Report, or click the podcast link at strivingforeternity.org.
The good news is Striving for Eternity would love to come to your church to spend 2 days with your folks, teaching them biblical hermeneutics. That's right, the art and science of interpreting Scripture. The bad news is somebody attending might be really upset to discover Jeremiah 29:11 should not be their life verse. To learn more, go to strivingforeternity.org to host a Bible interpretation made easy seminar in your area.
Castle Rock Women's Health is a pro-women and pro-life clinic and ministry serving women of all ages and backgrounds in the community of Castle Rock, Colorado, and the surrounding areas. Castle Rock Women's Health offers well woman care, prenatal care, extended postpartum care, licensed clinical Christian counseling, fertility awareness, hormone therapy, childbirth classes, STI testing and treatment, ultrasounds, and even the abortion pill reversal. Castle Rock Women's Health uses your generosity to offer services at little to no cost for many women in situations where insurance is not available. But Castle Rock Women's Health needs your help. To serve women better in the community, Castle Rock Women's Health is looking to move into a new office. Please consider a charitable donation to help Castle Rock Women's Health offer life-affirming care and reach more women with the love of Jesus Christ by going to givesendgo.com/CRWH. That's givesendgo.com/CRWH and be a blessing to women in need. For more information about Castle Rock Women's Health, please visit our website at crwomenshealth.com. Thank you so much.
Main topic.
Hey, we're just going to look at a relatively short passage here. We could plow on through the end, but you know the purpose of this is not to run through it like we're going to be doing a sermon or a Sunday school lesson. Just want to look at one passage at a time. Just go through one verse at a time and dig deep. And so today we're going to enjoy spinning some wheels here on John chapter 16, verses 16 to 22. And probably next time we'll finish out the chapter. Where previously in this chapter, and even as this teaching, the upper room teaching and discourses, and even as early as, I think, John 8, Jesus had told people he'll be going to a place and you can't follow. At first he told that to the Pharisees and they wondered if he was going to commit suicide. And later he told his disciples that and they also began to worry. And here he is in this passage is saying, look, I'm going to go away and you can't come. The disciples were bothered by that. And here he can see that and he's opening up discussion to say, you know, have the disciples ask what they would want to. And the whole point here, spoiler alert, it's all about Jesus' death and resurrection. He's giving them a heads up. He's given them a little bit of foretelling, some prophecy. In verse 16, and this is the NASB, New American Standard Bible, that I'll be reading this out of. A little while, and you will no longer see me. Then again, a little while, and you will see me. Now, I've heard some commentators say, well, this could be, you know, the no longer see me is, of course, the crucifixion. You will see me, and then later you won't see me, would be his ascension. But here he's just talking about you won't see me, then you will. And of course, for what he's about to do, it's not their place. Now, I think he told James and John, you will indeed follow me. It's not up to me to tell you who's going to be on my right and left hand. And many of the disciples did indeed follow Jesus in a martyr's death, whether it be crucifixion or otherwise. But here Jesus, again, is referring to his arrest is coming in at 4 hours, leading to his crucifixion. And when he goes, they're not going to be arrested. He would leave them in a temporary way, you might say, as he's being arrested, persecuted, falsely accused, put on trial. It's something that he has to do on his own. And then he would leave them in a more permanent way when he paid that final price on the cross, and he laid in the tomb until the third day. That is definitely a permanent, you won't see me.
Now we come to a very interesting section here. In verse 16, he says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, what did he mean? Well, he meant this. He would be arrested. They'd be scattered like sheep. He'd be separated from them. He would be crucified, be buried, but the third day he would come back, and in a little while they would see him. He'd be absent a little while. They wouldn't see him. Then they would see him. Now, that has a fuller, richer, deeper meaning for us today.
Jesus said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, he is in the middle of a discussion with his disciples. One of the things we know is that he was telling them about the coming of the Comforter, or the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus had to go to heaven, to be with, you know, with the Father, so he could send the Comforter. And so he said, you know, it's going to be a little while and you won't see me. He said, but then in a little while after that, you will see me again. You know, this is not, you know, it's more of a see you later, not a goodbye. And I'd like to say that I want that day. I'm looking forward to the day where I am able to see Jesus. For me, with my eyes, it will be, you know, the first time, and it will be but with perfect eyes. But that's a whole other topic for a whole other show. But I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. But I also want us to think about something for a minute. Now, Jesus' situation is very special. He did not. He died, but he rose again physically. So when he went to heaven, he didn't go spiritually to heaven. He went everything to heaven. With the body he had and everything that came with it, he went up. It's more. It's an ascension. He went up. He didn't vanish. He didn't go poof. He didn't die again and then his spirit go up. No. He went, ascended completely as a whole to heaven. So it's different in our situation, but I wanted to remind listeners of our situation. And our situation is, you know, when we lose a loved one, if they know Christ, yeah, we won't see them for a little while, but then in a little while we will see them again. So in that sense, it is this very similar situation. Of course, Jesus is more special than any other loved one, but just remember that there is a heaven. Heaven is real. Just like Jesus said, if it wasn't so, he would have told us. But in the house, he's preparing a place for us. If he hadn't already got it prepared, by now, you know. He's got it ready. He's got us taken care of. The blood of Jesus Christ has made us right with God, those who trust him. And for those, when one of us dies, well, we won't see you for a little while, but in a little while we will.
But rather than cheering his disciples up in the moment, it only seemed to confuse them, and we'll find that out as we continue on. Verse 17, some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. Now, I could imagine, it's like, do we hear him right? This is what I heard. Did you get this too? Did you get the memo? Now, I want to maybe take a quick sidestep here and point out, some people say that, you know, the scripture is not reliable because it's like the telephone game. I say to you and you say to somebody and it goes around the room and it gets all cattywampus. Well, this is how the air quote telephone game actually worked, is that all the disciples are like, wait, did you hear what I just heard? He said he was going to go away, he's going to come back because of the thing with the Father. And they're all running those words to their mind. They're expressing them to each other. Do we get this right? Am I missing something? Is there some kind of a slightest hint of a clue in this puzzle of a language? They repeated the words, but no matter how they tried to make sense of it, it just wasn't possible. It wasn't clicking with them. Well, at least not for now. Let's continue on.
Now, verse 18. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. They did not know exactly what he meant.
Now, again, Jesus would ascend to heaven. He would go be with his father, and he would start his new job, being the mediator between God and man. Because there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. It says, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is it that he said to us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. So they didn't understand. Occasionally I will quote Dr. David Robinson, who actually went through the book of John in a Sunday school literature a few years back. And one of the things he said was, many things that puzzle and confound us now will be made clear by the passing of time. We will understand it better by and by. I agree with him. They didn't understand what he was saying. They couldn't grasp it. But we, looking back, now that it's all already happened, it's easy to see. It's easy to understand. Why? Because we see it. We can compare what happened with what he said, and we can see, oh, this is what he meant. They did not have that. They said, therefore, what is this that you say a little while? We cannot tell what he saith.
And so they were saying, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. So they're airing out. This is how this telephone game, air quotes, would work in the first century context. They wanted to make sure they got the words right. They asked themselves. They repeated the words. Are we missing something? This is how the Bible, the scripture, was transmitted in the oral tradition. It wasn't, you know, no cheating, you can't copy off me. No, there was people widely wanted to make sure they got it right. Let's go on and look at verse 19.
Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me?
Jesus knew that he wished to question them, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this, that I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? He was doing there. He's saying, you got the words right. You got it right. A little while, you won't see me. A little while, you will see me. He's telling them, you've got it right. You got it. You got my words. And I like how it says, he knew that they wished to question him. I think it might be a little obvious when you got the whole room abuzz. What's this guy talking about? But, you know, elsewhere we do find Jesus seeming to read the mind of the Pharisees as they're trying to entrap him. He, of course, you know, he is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. Of course he would know what's troubling their thoughts. And before, he seemed to not want them to express, and now he's open. He says, I got this hard saying here. Hash it out amongst yourself, but... You know, it reminds me if it's like somebody who's a beginning a crossword puzzle puzzle person. The way I used to do it is I had the crossword puzzle book, and I'd answer the questions, the puzzling questions. And then if I got stuck, you know what I'd do? I'd look at the back of the book. Oh, that's that word. And here Jesus is saying, okay, look at the back of the book here. I got the answers for you. He's like, ask me. It's my statement. Ask me. I'm here. You got me here now. You won't have me here for long. But he is just being there and saying, look, this may be one of the last few times I can do this for you, so ask away. Verse 20.
Verily, verily. Verily I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy.
Now, this is the picture, and this is always the steps. The little while was for them the 3 days. But there's to come another little while. He ascended back into heaven. And he says, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'm coming unto you in the person of the Holy Spirit. I'll not leave you orphans. I'll be with you through the Spirit of God. And he'll take the things of mine and make them real to you. That's where you and I live today. The little while has been 1,900 years. But during those 1,900 years, multitudes have come to him. And they've come to know him. The Spirit of God's made him real to them. And they're looking forward. And they've gone through sorrow. They've known what it is to be hated, to be ridiculed, to be maligned in this world. And that's his method. He brings us through that. And joy is coming. Our sorrow shall be turned into joy. And I do not know who you are, where you are, but right now, wherever you are, friends, if you're his child and you're in sorrow and there are tears in your eyes, you got a broken heart. Joy cometh in the morning. He's going to bring joy into your life. What a prospect.
He continues and he says, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. You know, I looked up quite a few references, cross-references. I'm no way going to read everything. It would just take hours, probably. But there's a lot of references linked to this concept that's being talked about here. It talks about, you will weep and lament, the world will rejoice. There's a lot of times expressed in the Old Testament prophets and great verbal pains of weeping and lamenting and crying and agony. And even the concept of you will weep now, but you'll have joy later. Even the prophets of old, whenever they would lament, they would go into, sometimes graphic depictions of weeping and sorrow. But they knew that with God on their side, that they would see a day of rejoicing. And Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that here. Because he's not sharing details, but he's telling them about the events by what they will be feeling. He's not saying, okay, you're going to hop in your car and you're going to plow into a bridge and then you're going to be stuck. Can you get out this way? He's telling them your emotions. You're going to be confident. You're going to be in danger. You're going to feel peril. He's going straight off of straight emotions. Yeah. There's a particular blogger I follow, and sometimes you get a prompt of the day. It'll say something simple like, name a song that means something to you or something like that. Or say something about your grandparents. And this particular blogger will, instead of saying, oh, my grandpa, and he had gray hair, and he was born in such and such, and she will go and talk about emotions. She paints the whole word picture through emotions so that you understand her connection, her relationship with, and she doesn't have to be reveal anything private. You're not going to be a stalker for her, at least. Jesus is doing, he's not doing the details because he doesn't want people to maybe intervene. Like we know later, Peter will have his sword and try to fight their way out. But he's warning them about their emotions. You're going to go through grief like you've never grieved. The things that are grievous to God is joyful to an evil world. You know, think of our world today. If you're a Christian, you should definitely be pro-life. You should be not for abortion. And it is a grievous thing to know that our nation has allowed the slaughter of unborn babies for the last 50 years and still are looking for loopholes to continue doing that. And you can bet that if suddenly the government came out and they slammed the door shut on pro-life, there would be a lot of people celebrating, hey, we can kill our babies again. That would be horrible for us, but it would be great for them. There's also a lot of references to this in the Old Testament. The Old Testament prophets knew that their enemies loved to see them in agony. In Revelation, I don't have the chapter handy, but it's in one of the final seals or bowls or one of the final things. And it's when, you know, God sends his wrath. And even though people are in agony, and even though they know that this is from God, they curse God and would rather die with the mountain falling on top of them than even think about repenting. And this is how it is with the world, is God's people will suffer the worst grief they've ever known, his disciples would. But the world would rejoice over that. We're going to find that these evil elements rejoicing, like the false religious leaders, they scoff and they mock as Jesus is being crucified. Go off the cross. Save yourself. The Romans were scoffing and mocking and gambling over his clothes. They were just, you know, this their day of putting criminals on the cross to them. Just another day of fun. although one criminal would change his heart. We know they both did probably mock and curse, but the one at least had a realization, and he asked for forgiveness. And we know that Jesus gave that to him. But even those who had no hope, they're pinned up on that cross, but they deserve to be there. You have fake religious people scoffing. You have soldiers beating and scoffing. You have criminals who are going through the same pain scoffing. And the one group you don't have scoffing is the disciples, the women at the cross. They were stunned. They were just utterly, they could do nothing but stand by and watch the train wreck, as it were, the worst possible thing ever. But Jesus assures his disciples that this sorrow would turn to joy. The tables would be turned.
And the figure of speech he uses is this.
A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. He's saying, you know, there's going to be a time of mourning, a time of weeping, but something amazing is going to happen. It's going to turn it all around. And I think about when Jesus died. You know, the disciples didn't get what Jesus said when he said he was coming back. He didn't get what he said when he said, and that's another thing that maybe he was talking about a little while. He may have been talking about his death and resurrection, but I think also the ascension and the seeing him in heaven later.
And I think one of the things that when we get in his presence someday, that we're going to look back on this life, and if we have any regrets, the regrets are going to be, my, why didn't we do more for him? Why didn't we suffer more for him? Why didn't we stand for him? That's going to be our regret.
He says, I say unto you, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. The world was going to kill Jesus. And they were going to love it. They were going to think it's the greatest thing in the world. But Jesus wasn't going to stay dead. Their sorrow turned to joy. Why? He's alive. It talks about childbirth. You know, the pain of the cross for all involved was a great pain. However, when Christ rose, that was all that was needed for eternal salvation. Pain becomes joy. Hard times come and hurt. But when it's all said and done, we wouldn't change the hard times because that was how God got us to where he wanted us and where we needed to be. Jesus had to go through the crucifixion or we would all be doomed. Was it a sad moment? Yeah. It was hard for the disciples. It was hard for Jesus. But when it was all over, Jesus was alive and our debt was paid. What an amazing, wonderful thing that is.
In verse 21, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because that a child has been born into the world. And I think there are studies done that will tell you that men remember pain. If you hit your thumb with a hammer, you do your best to not do it again. Doesn't mean you won't. But as you gain some skill, you don't hit your thumb at all or much. But they say that when a woman tends to forget her pain, which is why during childbirth, with all the agony and the sweat and the toil and the effort, that when it's all done, well, women keep going back to give birth again, despite the ordeal. Now, some women will say it's a pleasure to do that. Like, I don't see how that's possible, not even knowing what it's like to go through that. But if you say so, and then there's other women who will tell you it's the worst thing, the worst pain ever. But when it's done, you just don't remember it. When it's done, you hold the reward in your arm, that little child that just entered the world. And no matter what the rest of your body is feeling, that takes it all the way. It makes everything better. Now, this word picture is actually a very good one because, you know, before it goes down, there's a baby in there. That's a good thing, a good and joyous thing. You know, though, it has to come out, and it has to come out soon. And when it does, it becomes even greater joy because of all the potential that future of that baby holds. When that time is right, the labor begins. And as hard as painful as it may be, it doesn't last. I mean, you hear people, I was in labor for 30 hours. But, you know, when the moment comes and the doctors and nurses are gathered around or your midwives or whoever is helping out with that, it doesn't necessarily take all that long. But in one single explosive moment, that baby emerges and it's all over. It's all over. And this new and greater joy can now begin. And think of that, how it compares to the kingdom. Is these disciples were warned. And even though they're going to remain clueless right up until resurrection morning, their grief won't last. But let's go ahead and finish out our verse here.
Now notice what he says here. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. That's the day that's coming.
Verse 22 says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Dr. Robinson says, when we are on a mountaintop, we are surrounded by valleys. When we are down in the valley, the mountains are all around us. We must learn to accept and even welcome the changes that come in life and give God the glory in them. You know, guys, the joy we have in Christ is something no man can take away. It lasts throughout all persecution and that man may throw at us, for it ends in eternal life with Christ. I mean, that's where we're going to go when we die. So if they kill us, okay. I mean, not looking forward to it, but I'm looking forward to what happens on the other side of that. There was a lot of sorrow that was coming for them. But joy was coming too. So when taken into context, it looks like he's talking about the crucifixion followed by the resurrection. And I say that because earlier when I was reading it, I wasn't catching the full context. And instead of editing it, and I'm sure that some of what I said was useful, because a lot of what I said was still accurate, even though the context was wrong, it is very dangerous to take the Bible out of context. We talked about that not long ago. And so you need to know the context of the passage you're reading, which I knew part of the context, but I wasn't getting part of it. And until I read further down, I knew, okay, this is more, you know, leaning towards the crucifixion and the resurrection. So it makes a difference. So if you just read one verse, I mean, I had read, you know, the passage that came earlier before. So it wasn't even new to me, and I still got, you know, that wrong. So it's very important to get the context right. And it's also very important to know that I have actually hit verse 22.
Verse 22. Therefore, you too have grief, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. And that's the short verse says a lot. The disciples' grief, they're just now beginning their early stages of labor, as it were. But here he's warning them it's going to get worse. It's going to be darker before it gets better. But he will go away in death, which will naturally only compound their sorrow and hopelessness. But he promises that they not only will have a great joy, but it'll be a joy that can never be taken away. And that is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Is it may have been the most painful, agonizing thing, not only for the disciples, but for the whole world. Nobody in the world could top that those stunned emotions those disciples felt at seeing, you know, their Messiah hang on that tree. And not only that, but it gets worse to see him laid in the grave. But despite that childbirth, those labor pains, it didn't last. And Jesus did rise. He paid for those sins, and he rose to show he had power over sin and death that keeps us from God's presence. And that is a gift that, for those who believe that he is indeed God's Messiah and payment for sins, that cannot be taken away. People might take your life. They might steal your car, steal your house, steal your life. But if you're a believer, they haven't stolen anything. So, and there's what we have with that. We'll get back to this next time. We'll wrap out the chapter.
Attention, this is a coded report nationwide.
Ever wish you could get together with a friend over coffee each week and talk about God's Word? Me too. Hi, I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. Grace and Peace Radio is a Christian living blog and podcast dedicated to engaging conversations about applying God's Word to everyday life. I hope you'll join me, Anthony Russo, on Grace and Peace Radio each week at graceandpeaceradio.com or right here on the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
My name is Andy Olson, and I want to tell you about Echozoi Radio. Echozoi Radio is a podcast outreach of Echozoi Ministries. Every month, I find a knowledgeable guest to talk about an important and interesting topic that affects the church today. We carefully balance the discussions of positive, God-glorifying doctrines of Orthodox Christianity from a mostly Reformed point of view with exposés of heresy, false teaching, and poor practice that goes on throughout the church today. You can find us at echozoe.com. That's echozoe.com.
How is your flame of truth, Christian? Is it burning bright? Hi, I'm Rebecca Berschwinger, creator and host of One Little Candle, a weekly podcast dedicated to encouraging, empowering, and equipping believers to be the light that God has called us to be, so that we may pass down undefiled the truth of God's infallible word to the next generation. So join me and light your own little corner of the world. You can listen to One Little Candle on all major podcast platforms or at ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
All right, and that is the episode. Not a lot of verses, but some deep things as these disciples are unaware that they will be anticipating some of the most horrible days of their life. And in that moment, the repetition here that Jesus kept saying, how they will be grieving and how he'll go away and come back. It's definitely something he drove into their memory banks so they would recall it, would know it later when they recognized it. And with that, by the time this is posted, Easter would have been yesterday, Resurrection Sunday, and I hope you all had a good celebration and continue to celebrate that Jesus is our King on into the future. And with that, it is time to go on out here, so let's bring in our voice of the podcast, Anthony Russo, who will tell you all about how you can contact us, give us feedback on the interweb. So take it away, Anthony, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HHNCAST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.